It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Okay.
All right. We're talking politics.
What?
Kamala Harris.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Running for president.
Yes, she is. 7:06, 65 degrees. Highs today about 80. Talk to Brittany Merlot in about 20 minutes and get an update on weather for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the big announcement happened a little after 1 o'clock. Joe Biden sent out...
You were watching TV at the time. You caught the news just as it happened.
Well, actually, yeah, I had the TV on in the background, but I saw it first on X, and that's where he posted it first. He didn't release it to the networks exactly. He did it on X right away.
It's kind of in with Elon, I guess. So.
You think so? I doubt that, but
I know.
You know, and of course the word got out. Now, what I love about TV coverage, you know, I have either CNN or MSNBC on video, but I keep the sound down most of the time because the crawl tells you any headlines. So I had it on in the
closed
background.
Closed caption lets you know.
You know, and I'm just cleaning up around the house and, you know, doing dishes and laundry and all the stupid crap you got to do on the weekend.
Oh, sure.
And I check X, and there's this letter from Joe Biden on there. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then I texted you. I started texting, you know, spreading the word. And there they are on CNN and MSNBC. And, just kept going all day and all night. And actually, we've got a caller on the line here to talk about this, too.
Let's go to Jacob.
Jacob is on the line with John and Gordy. Good morning, Jacob.
Hey there. First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying. And second of all, I know that there are some people who are heartbroken that Grandpa Joe is out of the race. Okay. But I've never been more stoked for an election. I've only lived through 5 in my short life on this planet, and I was devastated that we were going to have 2 men approaching 80 running for office. Mm-hmm. You take a look at Kamala. She's so happy. Trump's attack on her at a rally was laughing Kamala. You ever seen her laugh and smile? And it's like, really, buddy, that's the best you got?
That's
she
it.
Likes to smile.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the best they got.
They're cooked.
Yeah.
They're cooked, man. And Aunt Kamala is going to ride on in there. America's yoga mom is going to run things for 4 years, and I'm so excited.
Well, now I heard that also Trump put out something about the debate is still on, but he wanted to move it to Fox instead of ABC.
Yes, exactly.
Which, you know, what was that tell you?
Steer it a little bit, you know, at least provide some clapping, some applause, some standing ovations for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But I imagine no matter what network it's on, it's going to be carried by other networks anyway. But
here's one thing, Jacob, and this is my one complaint about Kamala, is that I don't think she's a great speaker. I think all of this time that she's been in office as vice president, I think they should have been attempting to get her to be a better speaker. Now it would really come in handy. She's more of an emotional, she tries for the emotional impact when she speaks, instead of actually more matter-of-fact, more business-like, more presidential.
Yeah.
That's just my impression. What do you think, Jacob?
I'll tell you something. As much as I agree with you, the great thing about Kamala is that now there's only one oldest candidate in the race,
exactly.
And he's older than Joe Biden was the first time he ran.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
And you brought up a good point, because I texted you, Gordy, about this, and I think it's great to turn the tables now.
Right.
Now let's say that we've got this guy running for president who's way too old.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Kamala has a lot of energy. I hear you about her speaking style, but she's really good, and you know, and again, and a lot of the pundits were talking about this. She's a former prosecutor and an attorney general.
I want her to bring that out.
And you've seen some of these clips of her, you know, in action as a senator, grilling Brett Kavanaugh and grilling Bill Barr.
Yeah.
And she's going to, that'll be very interesting in the debates. But the news coverage was, you know, pretty expansive on TV. And of course, we had civic media coverage almost immediately last night, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a special that aired last evening. Terry Bell and Todd Alba were all over it. And of course, Kamala Harris is going to be in Milwaukee. Is that later today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
I'll have to double check on that.
I think, Jacob, you probably wanted to see Biden step down. Is that right?
You know, I was largely indifferent for a time until the debate. And after the debate, I love the guy. I think he was a good president. And I just can't hand the car keys to Grandpa.
Right.
Okay. But one of the things I think a lot of us are impressed by, that Biden would actually step down for the country in this respect.
Well, you know,
I think this is one of the most impressive moves ever by a president.
That and, you know, he's served the public for 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. What a history of, you know, since he was 29, he was a senator, you know, for all those years and really had some personal tragedies along the way. Mm-hmm. And, he's been an amazing president, got a lot of things done during his time in office.
But the other thing is, the president doesn't come up with all of these bills.
Right.
He needs a Congress. Yes. So the big event here is getting the House and Senate to be dominated by Democrats so they can come up with the agenda, the bills that have to be signed by the president. That's what it's all about. We need the Congress to be Democratic in this case so we can get all of our things passed just like we did during the first couple of years.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Dick is on the line with a comment this morning. Dick, go ahead.
Totally agree with your last caller. I think that it breathes a lot of new life into it and sucks the age issue away. If I'm the Democrats, I bring it up now all the time. The other thing is, I just don't believe that this nonstop dog whistle / misogynistic, you know, he's like Don Rickles. A little bit of that humor goes a long way. You know what I mean?
Good comparison.
But it wears on you after a while.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll wear on the American people. I think they're going to get sick and tired of this nonstop, you know, negative. First of all, she talks about things she will do and will try to do. And all he does is just bash people and trash talk.
And blames.
And I just, Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens, but.
I have
apparently donors are up.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Donations.
Yeah,
I think they
now we know who to donate to.
Well, that's right, and I think they had raised something like $47 million by late last night.
As I mentioned last hour, you know, I got a couple fundraising letters, you know, and I threw them away because I didn't know who to donate to.
Yeah.
So it was hurting the small donors as well as the large billionaires. So and this I thought was interesting, Dick. This is an ex. Response. Guess what, MAGA? Hunter Biden doesn't matter. The laptop doesn't matter. Ashley Biden doesn't matter. Biden's age doesn't matter. And Biden's brother doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, all those are off the table.
Yeah,
now.
Geez. Now what are they going to talk about?
Right.
Yeah, the Biden crime family is now officially gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, you know what the big event now is, and my mega friend in Milwaukee called me about this. He says, you know, now that he stepped down, he should also resign as president. If he's not good enough to run for president, he should resign. And this is a big event on the right. I mean, they really, this is their talking point. I saw the development of that talking point.
Mm.
And then my friend calls me about it. I'm thinking, you're not falling for this. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not falling for anything. That he should step down. No, you're falling for it, and I hung up on him.
Good for you.
I'm done with this.
Yeah. Okay, Vince.
All right.
Okay. You know, and now it turns to, well, who's she going to pick for vice president? You know, there's a lot now. There's tons of speculation about that, and it's got to be somebody from a swing state, maybe that governor from Pennsylvania or somebody from Arizona.
Shapiro?
Shapiro or Mark Kelly from Arizona.
Right. The thing that bothers me about
several
that,
other names being floated.
Well, I like Buttigieg.
Well, yeah.
I think he should be in there, but you know, if you have a black female running for president and you've got a gay male running for vice president, it's a heavy ticket.
Yeah. I think Buttigieg would be great as like a Secretary of State. I mean, he speaks seven languages. He's been all over the world. He has military experience. He's really good
Rhodes,
at this
Rhodes
stuff.
Scholar. Rhodes Scholar. This guy is brilliant.
He is. He's amazing.
Please, I want him to run for president someday. Well, you know that. Everybody knows that. Okay. He's my favorite guy.
Yeah.
Robert texts in, I can't tell how serious he is about this, but Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney, 2024, they could bring unity back to this country. We'd really see the art of compromise again.
That's an interesting idea.
Liz is crazy. Wait a minute. She's nuts right. She did the right thing, and Republicans should have done the right thing, and she was a Republican doing the right thing, which is rare. So, no, we should make her vice president, not on a Democratic ticket.
Well, there'll be a lot of speculation over the next couple of weeks, but,
We have a response here. John is right. Kamala comes off as inauthentic. Hopefully she fixes that. She should have been coached for the last 3 years. Well,
I think when you're vice president, you have to, you know, cede the spotlight to the president all the time and support him all the time. And now she's on her own. You know, now she'll start to, you know, I think we'll see a different style from her.
Yeah.
So, all right. And we're getting another text in here. Cheney on the ticket sounds good if you're a moron. Okay, that was come on.
We've got a fight going on here. Okay. In our text.
The texters are battling each other now. Hey, we want to remind you that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east and west sides or online. Just go to Verlo.com. That's Verlo.com.
I want to say hello to Sherry. She always sends us an emoji.
Every morning we get a different emoji from Sherry in Horicon.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It says good morning. She's always very bright and chipper. You know, you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, of course, you know, we were on the air at 2 and 6.
Pardon me?
With this whole special in regards to the...
We were... Yes. Civic Media was
Kamala.
Yeah, on the air right after it happened, about 2 o'clock. Terry Bell and Todd Alba and the news department all making the coverage.
This is good, too. This
what
is good.
We got?
Now Americans can choose between a former DA and a current convicted felon.
There you go.
There you go.
It is 18 minutes past the hour. We're at 65 degrees, the high near 80 today. Maybe a scattered shower along the way, but I wouldn't worry about it. We're going to talk to Brittany Merlot coming up, and Paul Soglin is in the building here. And we'll be talking to him about all this Kamala Harris and convention talk and a whole lot more about what's happening here in Madison, too, coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin, high over State Street, a block away from the Capitol Dome.
Yes. It's a beautiful morning, a little cloudy, 65 degrees.
Is there a reason why we heard Herb Alpert?
It was just what I picked,
dating
John.
Game? Okay,
all
right.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Brittany Merlot is at the EAA this morning. And
yes,
she's,
I am.
Hey, how you doing, Brittany?
Good. How are you guys?
You're out there in the field, out in the parking lot, right?
It may look like a parking lot, but this is a massive campground where there are over 13,000 campers here. 13,000.
Man.
Now, we found out last week, Brittany, that you are maybe training to be a pilot. Is that right?
Yes, I'm working on my private pilot's license, so that's just, you know, the smallest thing that you can get, but it gets you in the air, lets you have that freedom.
Sure. Well, if you have a little extra pocket money for an airplane.
True.
Do you rent airplanes? Can you do that? Is that like a rental car thing?
Yes, you can absolutely rent an airplane. You can also go in with friends to purchase an airplane, or if you have enough dough, you can get your own. Call me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. I know who's making the big money here.
So have you been to the EAA before, or is this your first time there?
Oh, I've definitely been here. I think this is my fourth year that I've been here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you guys? Have you ever been?
No.
Never had no.
I've driven by and yeah. seen the large parking lots, and yeah, a lot of people show up for it.
Oh, yes, they yeah. do. I think there's like 677,000 people that show up for this event from yeah. across the world, yeah. too. So, you know, honestly, it's right in our backyard. If you have a chance, you guys should come on up because it is a blast. These people are so amazing. They're so friendly, and you get to see the weirdest, coolest, different airplanes. I mean, stuff that are home builds or things that aren't even flying, really. You know what I mean? They're experimentals that they've built. It's very interesting what's going on here this week.
I was going to say, where are all the planes at? You're standing in the middle of a field, but shouldn't the planes be in the air?
They, well, you know what? Actually, no planes are in the air right now. I don't know what's going on, but the gates just opened at 7 a.m. Yeah, there must be some sound thing so that these campers can get a little sleep, but I'm waking them all up right now.
Is that right near Osh Vegas?
Osh Vegas?
Yep.
It is, right across the street. Yeah, there you go.
What are you talking?
That sign, you know what I'm talking.
What is Osh Vegas?
It's this tiny little thing across the street. It's like, I don't know, what is it, a gas station or something?
I think that's actually a campground, if I'm correct.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And I think there's like a little pub restaurant.
Yes, there's something right there, yeah.
So, Brittany, it looks bright and sunny there. How's our weather shaping up for this week?
Yes, yeah, so you are looking at about 83 degrees for your high today, a mix of sun and clouds, maybe a scattered shower in there this afternoon, but a smaller chance. As we go through tomorrow, though, that's when a front is going to be dropping through, and we are looking at about a half an inch of rainfall, showers and storms moving in, but nothing should be severe. So not too bad. And as we go through the rest of the week, sunshine, we get warmer and warmer as we push towards the weekend, and the humidity holds off until next week.
Oh, it's humid today.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
At this moment, because our temperatures are so close to the dew point, technically, yes. But as we go through the afternoon, you'll be all right.
Excellent. Fantastic. Good to hear.
Well, Brittany, enjoy. You're going to be there all week, huh?
I will. Yes, I will. I'll have planes next time. This is your one shot of the campsite.
Okay. Good enough. Well, keep us up to date, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, all right?
What? I think she's done some wing walking before, haven't you?
Brittany's a wing walker?
Yeah, she's a wing walker.
She's a stunt pilot? Okay.
Okay.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Where'd you go? Have fun.
All right, great.
All right.
Very good.
Well, you know what?
It is 7:24. Yeah.
We've got our guest here in the studio. Why don't we just start talking to Paul Soglund? Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good having you here.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for waking up early with us this morning.
Do you use coffee at all?
No coffee.
No. Yeah. So, Paul, give us your impressions of what's happened here over the last, not even 24 hours here, with Kamala Harris now the apparent nominee. That's not official yet, but Joe Biden stepping away from the nomination.
Well, I think it's clearly the best thing that could happen for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden was a great president. I think that when we go back over the last 100 years, FDR got us through the Depression, got us through World War II. LBJ, the Civil Rights Act, and some of his anti-poverty programs. And Joe Biden got us through COVID. And I really think that folks underestimate what might have been the consequences of COVID disabling this country economically if he hadn't taken the steps that he did. There would have been not only so much more consequences in terms of tragic death, but the collapse of the economy would have been far worse than the Great Recession and could have approached the Great Depression if not for the economic programs he launched. I don't think there's any question that great massive spending, both for infrastructure and to keep people employed and in their homes, contributed to the inflation. But the consequences, if that had not happened, would have been far more devastating. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in another 20, 30 years, people come to appreciate what he did over the past 4 years. And it was very difficult for him, but he did put the country first, recognizing what might happen in terms of the disaster both in terms of the economy as well as our democracy, if Donald Trump is returned to the presidency.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've had some interactions, probably, I would imagine, with Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Tell us a little about that.
Not Vice President Harris, but Joe Biden several times when he was vice president for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, when people have characteristics, perhaps as they get older, they get accentuated. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the first time I heard him speak at a mayor's conference in Washington, and he was scheduled for, I think it was a half an hour, and he went on for about 45 minutes. So the next time they scheduled him for 45 minutes, and he went on for about an hour. And I seem to recall that the last time I heard him, it was about an hour and 45 minutes. And it's how his mind works, because he can put together a compound sentence which has two or three ideas, and before he goes much further into something different, he's going to touch on all two or three of those points. And it does run over, and it can get confusing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We only have about a minute here before the break, but we're going to have you in our next half hour here.
Yes.
And not only talk about, you know, the current political situation, but your three different times as mayor of Madison, and what do you think about what's happening here now,
right,
too.
Yeah, the bus system. Excellent. And affordable housing. We want to hear your input on that. I know you had a recent article on that, mm-hmm. your editorial. We'll talk about that.
With former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin, joining us within our next half hour, 7:29. We're back with more of the John and Gordy Show for this Monday in just a few moments.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
7:34.
I didn't know.
66 degrees, highs today about 80. It's the John and Gordy Show with our special guest, former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin. Paul, great to have you with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, we were talking a little bit about how great a President Biden was. But, you know, if it wasn't for him, Trump had pretty much made all the available help for COVID on the private market. Put it out there for competition, the states competing with each other. That ended once Biden came into office. That was a disaster waiting to happen. Right?
Well, I think what's critical is this. Treating the nation took more than just getting people immunized. Mm-hmm. We know, even today, in the last couple of days, I know of what we would call two super spreader events just in the last couple of days. One involved a wedding. The other involved actually a political event. Mm-hmm. But what is really key is understanding people have to go to work. If they don't go to work, they don't have incomes. If they don't go to work, they don't have incomes. Not only can't they pay their rent, but they can't go shopping, and they can't keep the rest of the economy afloat. And all these other people who are in service and manufacturing industries start losing their jobs, and then the whole thing just spirals out of control.
Right.
That is what Joe Biden did. He stopped that from happening. There was a very tough period in the first 18 months that he was president, but he kept income flowing in, he kept production going, he kept the nation's economy from going into another, not great recession, but great depression. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be recognized 10, 20, 30 years from now as one of the greatest presidential achievements in the last 100 years.
Right. And a lot of that inflation, maybe a little bit was part of the stimulus after COVID, but also it was, no question it was greedflation.
Yeah, there was. And, I mean, you cannot have those billions of dollars of infrastructure investment, of economic investment. I mean, one of the interesting reports I saw just in the last week was how many small businesses were able to stay afloat because of, in effect, the economic bridge of money that came from the Biden administration. And I wish that all the folks who benefited from that, whether they were owners of these businesses or employees or suppliers to these businesses who then could keep going, would appreciate that when they cast their vote in November.
Mm-hmm.
Because Absolutely. It was not Donald Trump who, in fact, he wanted to do the exact opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul, I want to ask you about this. Now, this year, we've seen an attempted assassination of Trump. We've seen a lot of political turmoil. Biden at the debate, you know, and everybody remembers what happened there. A lot of things are happening all at the same time. Does it flash? And here Biden is stepping away from running for president. It reminds me a lot about 1968 when Lyndon Johnson came to that conclusion that he, you know, the Vietnam War was raging. He stepped away from running in, I think, at the end of March of 1968. A few days later, Martin Luther King gets assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, who was running, gets killed. Is there anything we can learn from history when we go through these tumultuous political upheavals? And it kind of feels like that right now. Well, you remember those days very well because you were right there in the front lines.
I was. And in fact, that election in April of 68, where Johnson dropped out of the race a couple of days before the Wisconsin primary, was also my first election to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of things that strike me. First is it's not just the rhetoric of violence, but it is the resentment and ultimately the need to punish that comes out of some very angry people. Oh, you know, we've all, not maybe everybody, but we're aware of the politics of resentment. Well, that politics of resentment can escalate into a politics of retribution, which we see it in Donald Trump's rhetoric, but we also see it in regards to people who feel threatened by women, threatened by people of color, threatened by people who've emigrated to the United States. And unfortunately, that is the history of this country. I mean, we can go back to a few years after this nation was formed for the first Alien and Sedition Act, the first time we were threatened by foreigners. In that case, it was in response to the French Revolution and people not wanting French aristocrats to come into the new United States of America. We see it in the mid-19th century, the 1840s, with the Know-Nothings. And on both the left and the right, this history has, our country has a history of populist rhetoric and populist action, which is a resentment against the elites. There were people 8 years ago who were torn between voting for Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, left, and yet there's a commonality that both of them spoke about taking on the elites. Now we got to figure out who are the elites and who are these people that we don't want running our society. Is it going to be the folks with the billions of dollars who are attached to the hip with Donald Trump, who only want to make more money? Or is it going to be perhaps some people with a lot of money but believe in social justice And they are resented as elites from the right.
Well, many of these boomers who are now in charge in Congress, they grew up during the turbulent 60s and 70s. And it seems like they have a resentment from that time period, that they want to take it all back, that it was a great injustice having all of those individuals win their, you know, what they believed in, you know, women's liberation, birth control, Roe v. Wade, the sexual revolution, and the anti-war movement. They thought that they lost this and they want to get it back. Do you feel that way?
All right, so in the 60s, and as the war in Vietnam expanded in 65, 66, 67, one of the observations I made in criticism of the so-called greatest generation, because that greatest generation perpetuated Jim Crow laws and perpetuated racism, perpetuated the exploitation of other countries, and in my judgment, weren't so great. They were fortunate enough to have been born at a time to combat the Great Depression and fascists, but there's a lot of bad things that came from that generation. So our generation was the victims of the Vietnam War, and what I said and observed at the time is it was going to split our generation forever, and it has. And so you've got baby boomers who can trace their roots back to Vietnam, overlay that with the civil rights movement, and out of that comes two very, very different views of this nation and what it ought to be. And it's perfectly manifested in somebody like a Bill Clinton or a Joe Biden and by a Donald Trump. And that battle, unfortunately, is not over.
Right.
We had some victories along the way in terms of a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. We had victories in terms of the civil rights movement and voting. But Donald Trump and Republicans all over the country are turning back that legislation of the 60s.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin, and let's go local here for a minute. Any thoughts of running for mayor again? You've been mayor three different times in your life for several terms.
You, people said to me, particularly during COVID, they'd say to me, I suppose you're really glad you're not there right now. And actually, there's parts of it that I miss. I miss the staff. I miss the teams that we put together to tackle serious problems and solving those problems. Then I wake up on a Wednesday morning and I read about a city council meeting, or maybe I have to wait till Thursday because it went till 4 in the morning. And I think about the city council, and it's just, I know I am in a great place right now.
That's what I always think when I think of the city council. You know,
you shared with
and let
us.
Let me just say, there's about five or six members of the council that I really respect.
All right.
There are. All right, five or six.
You got that.
That's
in.
It. Okay. Okay.
Get credit for that.
You mentioned while we were off the air for a few minutes that you're putting your memoirs together. You've been working on this for a while.
I've been working on this. I'm not as aggressive a writer as one ought to be. Mm-hmm. My guess is that somebody a little more serious than myself would have finished in about 2 years, and we're in about year five or six now. I can't remember.
That happens.
But I've got five friends who are writers who have been reading each chapter as it finally comes out. They give me their feedback, their comments. Now I'm in the process, actually, of the second major rewrite or edit. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, here's what happened. As I wrote the book, I finished up, I said, you know, there's some themes in here, dealing with immigration, dealing with civil rights, dealing with populism that have just naturally come, but I haven't tied it together. So I had to go all the way back from the beginning and sort of bring those themes together.
So you expect that'll be out later
about
this
47
year?
47 years.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait, I guess.
Well, you're going to have to add a whole new page after being on the program.
There you go.
You know, I was going to say, you know, the impact. We were talking earlier about Biden stepping down. One of the things, I like to think that he finally put in place an infrastructure repair bill that this country so needed for so many years. You know, we needed to put some money back into the system and fix things up for the current generation, the Gen Zers. We need to fix it up so they didn't have to spend their money on it. And we finally went ahead and did something.
The morning after Donald Trump was elected, I was asked to comment about the prospects of a Trump presidency. And I tried to find a silver lining in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he's talked about public investment in infrastructure. Maybe we'll get something out of that. Well, I'm glad I didn't hold my breath.
Right.
But the kind of effort that Biden led and achieved really was recognized in the early 1990s. And so it took close to 30 years for a president to finally achieve, and it only scratches the surface.
Right.
It's not just about roads and bridges. It's about waterways and just public schools, everything.
The future of energy.
Yeah, we've been, this last 40, 50 years, we've probably been more lackadaisical about public investment in infrastructure than any time in this nation's history. We could spend... You want to go 2 hours?
Maybe not 2 hours, but can you stay with us another few minutes, Paul?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. It is 7:49. We're visiting with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. We'll be back with more on the John and Gordy Show in just a moment. Radio 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
Our special guest, former mayor Paul Soglin, in the studio this morning. We're asking a few important questions here on the show, and one is... do you hate it when people walk up to you and say hello to you because they recognize you? Does it disrupt your life in any way, shape, or form? Because I saw you at Woodman's and I was afraid to walk up to you and ask you to be on the show.
The only time it bothers me is if they say hello, Dr. Pastor, or they think I'm Marshall Shapiro, my dear friend. Who owned the Nitty Gritty, who passed away a few years ago.
Yeah. Marsh Shapiro, And Dr. Zorba Pastor.
Right.
Yeah. You do have a resemblance to Zorba.
We have mustaches.
Paul, how do you spend your days now?
Yeah.
You're mostly
besides
retired?
Besides shopping at Woodman's, I work out 3 days a week. Went in a class. Mm-hmm. My wife and I try to go to the pool for 1 or 2 hours every day if it's, as we call it, a pool day.
Mm-hmm.
I try and spend a couple hours there writing. During the summers, I manage my fantasy baseball team. We're in first place this year so far.
Okay.
Got a long way to go. Keeping tabs of what our daughters are up to.
You a big Cub fan?
Pardon?
Are you a Cub fan?
No. I grew up on the South Side. White Sox.
White Sox. I was going to say.
White Sox.
Hyde Park, yeah.
Okay.
And so there's that. And then, I follow what's going on in local government and try not to tear my hair out.
Well, you're not afraid to make a few comments occasionally about some things that are happening in Madison.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the middle of winter. We got nailed with two or three snowstorms, and there was some snow laying around for seemed like a long time. And you had some comments about how the city handled that.
Well, what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years is there's been a, shall we say, a dumbing down of city services, whether it's snow removal. For folks who take items, waste to the drop-off sites, the drop-off sites are open half as many hours as they were years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you work all week and you want to go there on a Sunday.
Yep.
So you got those kinds of problems. And what disturbs me about it is not so much the fact that they're being dumbed down as much as the fact that it's happening and people are not cognizant of it, that the city council is not aware of it. I was with a council member a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you took 3 votes to adopt the budget. That's 3 are required for what they did. And I said, you know, the first vote you took was to adopt the budget, which is required by law. The second vote you took was to adopt the levy limit, which is required by law. And I said, did you know what the third vote was, the one that was a 3/4 vote? And this person did not know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that probably 3/4 of the council doesn't know what that 3/4 vote is and why it's necessary in these budget times. There's been a whole change in process. I come from what I call the Tom Sawyer School of Management, which is you got a fence that needs to be painted and it probably needs repair. So you can either do it yourself, or what you do is you engage a whole lot of folks and get them to do it. And not only do you get to sit on the sidelines and watch, but they now take ownership in the fence. They're protectors of the fence. They are going to be really cognizant.
Invested in it.
They're vested in it, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for that to happen, it means you have to give up control. You're going to have to give up control, and that could be messy, could be sloppy, and you might end up with an outcome you don't like. They may paint it a different color. They may put flowers on it when you wanted frogs. But in the end, overall, I think that that process is far superior to the process we've seen now, whether we're talking about buses, whether we're talking about housing, whether we're talking about city finance, which is for everything to be fashioned administratively from the top between the mayor's office and the city departments. And then, sure, it's democratic, but then it's presented to the people to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
And responding is a far weaker position in terms of determining outcome than is actually building it, actually fashioning it. And like I said, if you let people take control, you don't necessarily get what you want. But in the outcome, I think everything's overall is better.
You were talking about the transit plans, BRT. And you mentioned something about regional transit authorities. Aren't those banned by the state now?
The state, to create an RTA,
mm-hmm.
the legislature has to act and give you the legislative authority to do it. It's been done for Milwaukee. There's been 2 cities in the state in the last decade or two that have wanted it. One is Appleton, the other is Madison. Jim Doyle had the legislation in place, was ready to work on it. He leaves office, and basically what happened was Scott Walker, that was the guy who succeeded him.
Yeah.
Walker dismantled all of that. Now is the time to bring it back. And
yes,
this is critical. I don't think we can assume, in fact, we should not assume, that Republicans in the legislature, including Robin Voss, are going to say no. That is a very faulty assumption.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm optimistic.
Well, I am now. I didn't think they'd ever pass anything to help this governor out. Give him one win. Impossible. But okay, well, we'll look forward to that attempt anyway.
Paul, we are all out of time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a long time since we've done this before, since we never have.
Yeah.
Let's try it again.
We'd love to have you back. To do that. Yeah.
Love to have
find
you
out about the 60s, some of the groups you knew, hung out with, some of the stories.
Thank you, Paul Soglin. We'll talk to you again
soon. Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right. That's going to do it for the John and Gordy Show for this Monday. We will be back bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we'll try to make it.
All right. And have a great day. So long.
Yep, you too.
John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.